to another edition of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And I feel like I say this a lot, but today we're not doing a band. I feel like there's a lot of shows lately where because we're doing a year in music or we're doing a single artist, that we say one band at a time. But today it's a lot of bands at a time, a ton of bands at a time.
And next week we do have a band.
Oh, good. Okay, so
it doesn't stand a ghost of a chance, but we've got a band.
Okay, so we don't need to change our tagline. Thank goodness, because I worked really, really hard on that. Yeah, today we're going to be talking about a genre of music. We like to do, again, you know, we like to do a year every season of Soundography, and we also like to do a genre show, one episode every season of Soundography. Today is our genre show.
Acoustic death metal.
Oh, darn it. You spilled a candy in the lobby, Hammond. You buried the lead. No, the music we're going to be focusing on today is ska. And this is a good one to do for our show, because the way I see it, there are three definite waves of ska music. I feel like there's, you know, the really old stuff that was kind of like the just borderline reggae with more emphasis on a faster beat and that sort of thing. Then there's the second wave, which is like, and I think these are consistent with what is regarded as the waves of ska. Mm-hmm. But then there's like the specials and the beat and the selector and stuff like that. And then I think there's this newer third wave of ska, which is stuff like early No Doubt, Real Big Fish, Goldfinger, as you mentioned, this kind of newer ska. Not just in my head? Is that like a whole thing?
Yeah,
like,
and now we can get to our playlist. No, I'm just kidding.
No, the whole front of the show, people.
No, there is also, according to the research I did, there is a post third wave. They're not calling it fourth wave. They're calling it post third wave.
Okay.
And it's got, it's still pulling from a lot of the original influences, but it's also adding in kind of influences of music that's come out in the last, you know, 10 to 12 years. So you're getting a lot of things like Sonic Boom 6 and the Flatliners and High School Football Heroes, and even Streetlight Manifesto is mentioned in that one.
Yeah, I considered them when I was putting together my playlist. I actually did several playlists that are built into Apple Music, but then I told Siri to just, hey, play me some ska. And it's
after she said she didn't understand what you were saying.
No, this was surprising, because Tina was with me in the car, and I think we were both thinking, well, this will never work. And or it's going to be like, here's Scott music or something like that. Right. But she came up with a playlist of stuff that was a combination of the stuff that I have in my library that's notable as ska, mixed with other things that other people who like the stuff I like also like in Apple Music. And I mean, it's the Pandora, it's the Spotify recommendations thing, it's nothing new. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she just went right into some stuff that I hadn't even considered for my playlist, I'm like, oh, I have to totally add this to my list. I completely forgot about this band, or oh, I can't believe I forgot about this song. This is a great one. So it was a really cool kind of merging of my library with the Apple Music library, and saying, all right, here's a playlist I think you'll like. I don't want this to sound like a big advertisement for Apple Music, because I know there's other services that do the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's nothing revolutionary.
It's just the ecosystem that you were in. And the one that you use, so therefore your story relates to that ecosystem.
There you go. That's exactly right.
My ecosystem, when I do, it's a combination of the stuff that I have, and mm-hmm. I use Pandora. My wife, when we had built the house that we're in, we have a Sonos system spread throughout the entire house.
Sure.
And so we pay for Pandora because we can create channels for the kids and for us, and I go through and each week create a channel for the show. So, you know, I've got 50 some odd channels now of you know, Soundography stations in my Pandora setup, but it really does help, because it, like you said, it gives you songs that you never would have considered or had totally forgotten about.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Well, let's get into ska and talk about what ska is. What is ska?
So I have a clip from Police Squad where Dick Clark is talking to a shoeshine boy. And I will play that right now.
Okay.
Johnny, some kids on the show yesterday mentioned a new kind of music, ska. You know anything about it?
How should I know? Nothing but a modern offshoot of reggae. The updated white rock influence is definitely upbeat. It'll never become really popular because even though they've made the backbeat more conventional, it's still too exotic for mass acceptance.
Johnny, I need some more of that secret formula youth cream.
I totally remember that too. I forgot that he was talking about ska.
Yeah,
that was such a great Police Squad character, Johnny the Shoeshine Boy, who didn't know anything until you tipped him $20, and then he knew everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's so great. Well, that's
and it's accurate. a great definition of exactly what this is.
It really is, yeah. A music style that originated in Jamaica in the 1950s. It was a combination of elements of Caribbean and calypso music along with jazz and rhythm and blues. Usually features a walking bass line and accented rhythms on the offbeat. The ching, 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 the regular guitar. Yeah.
I have a friend who played in the ska band. He was a keyboard player in a local ska band here in town. And he once said that ska is your favorite song, and you only play every third note. And the also,
that's awesome. I love it. Yeah.
And then he also made the notable comment that Rachmaninoff was the first ska musician.
Oh, wow.
And when I actually punched that into Rachmaninoff and ska into Google, mm-hmm. things actually spit back out. And I'll be putting a sample of it right here.
Okay.
See, he's the first ska musician.
Totally ska. Oh my gosh, yeah. It's funny because I was trying to define, you know, aside from the originations, the origins, I'm sorry, of the music and Jamaican reggae, obviously a massive influence, and then rock and roll, kind of where the two rivers converge. But I've also was trying to figure out, all right, what makes a ska song? Do you have to have a horn section? You don't necessarily have to have a horn section. It helps. Mm-hmm. And it's like a sure sign that you've got a ska song if you throw in a horn section. Do you have to have the reggae ding 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 with the guitars? I don't think so, but it helps. It's all these things that are like, none of these are requirements, but everything you add to this list helps define that, yes, you have got a ska song, which was making me wonder if like bands like Oingo Boingo.
I definitely think they're a ska band.
I think that they were in their first four or five albums. I think that around the time of Good for Your Soul, and sorry, not Good for Your Soul, Dead Man's Party probably mm-hmm. was when they were starting to move out of that into just kind of like a rock band.
Mm-hmm. And also, like we'd mentioned on the NXS episode, that first NXS album was almost pretty much definable as a ska album.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like the streetwalking song, the Transit. Mm-hmm. Totally ska. Wow. I didn't even think about that one. Look at that. That's crazy. Anyway, music historians divide ska into three distinct periods. Okay, here we go. I never did not read this before I said my thing, but let's see what they say. Music historians. The original scene in the 60s, the two-tone era in the late 70s in Britain, which took the original Jamaican sound and added speed and the edge of punk rock, and the third wave of ska, which took ska worldwide in the 80s and into the 90s. Okay, I honestly said my thing before I read that, but there we go. It's And that says it a lot better than I did, for sure.
Oh, yours was far more entertaining, though. This was very this was so clinical and dry.
It kind of was, yeah. All right, good, good. That's my job, is to take things out of the clinic and wet them up. The history of ska. So after World War II, Jamaicans who had radios were actually able to hear American blues stations from southern states. And locals in Jamaica started recording their own versions of American jump blues.
Yeah, and you know, jump blues is a very horn-oriented kind of fast form of blues that kind of originates mostly in Chicago and some of the areas up kind of the Northeast. But, you know, it became popular in New Orleans and places in Florida as well. So those stations were able to be picked up in Jamaica, and they were kind of doing their own spins on it, and they were putting in their own influences, and they were accenting the two and the four instead of the one and the three. Yeah. And all of a sudden it changed from jump blues to more of a calypso kind of bouncy number.
Huh. Yeah, totally hear it. This classic ska style was bars made up of four triplets, as we were saying, but characterized by guitar chop on the offbeat, known as an upstroke or a skank, with horns taking the lead and often following the offbeat skank and piano, emphasizing the bass line and again playing the skank. See, why didn't Johnny tell Dick Clark that?
Yeah, well, because
I'd love to hear him say the word skank three times on Police Squad.
And it actually, when I was typing this in, it actually gave me the definition for the whole idea of skanking.
Yeah.
Cause I had no idea until I did this. I just thought it was,
I didn't either. I thought it was like a slang term for, a dance you do listening to ska, like the skanking pickle.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yep.
Yeah. Let's see. Drums kept 4/4 time. The bass drum accented on the third beat of each four triplet phase. This is, people who know music understand exactly what I'm talking about. The snare would play side stick and accent the third beat of each four triplet phase. The upstroke sound can also be found in other Caribbean forms of music, such as mento and calypso.
The mento is the fresh maker.
It is. Yes, exactly. By the way, how many ska performers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I have no idea.
It takes two. One to climb up the ladder and accidentally drop the light bulb, and the other one to pick it up.
On that, I'll give you a list of notable artists from this era. There's the Blues Busters, Prince Buster. There seems to be a lot of busting, as we'll find as we go. There's Clue J and his Blues Blasters. The Melodians, Derek Morgan, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, the Skatalites, Millie Small, which we'll also talk about.
It's the Skatalites. Come on now.
Okay. The Skatalites. Yes. That's the one thing ska's done is if you can fit it in there, it'll happen.
Even if it doesn't fit in there.
Yeah. My favorite's Mephiscopheles.
Right.
That's a great one. Millie Small, and then Toots and the Maytals, and then the Wailers.
Mm, yep. Good. And a lot of them also considered reggae bands. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the Melodians and Toots and the Maytals, Prince Buster, just, you know, definitely considered to be a reggae artist as well. Mm-hmm. The first ska recordings were done with Federal Records or Studio One Records in Kingston, Jamaica. The ska sound coincided with the celebration of Jamaica's independence from the UK in 1962. Songs like Derek Morgan's Forward March and the Skatalites got me doing it. The Skatalites' Freedom Sound. A cover of Millie Small's My Boy Lollipop from 1956 was covered by Barbie Gay in 1964. It was the first commercially successful international hit, selling 7 million copies, and still remains one of the best-selling reggae ska songs of all time. I had a few covers of that myself that came up in that playlist that Apple Music generated for me. Two-tone started in the late 70s in England and fused those Jamaican rhythms and melodies with punk's chords and lyric styles. Had faster tempos, fuller instrumentation, and a harder edge. The era was named after Two Tone Records, which was founded by Jerry Dammers of the Specials. and many of these bands would rework classic ska tunes, turning them into two-tone era compositions.
And some of the bands that were working at the time are Bad Manners, The English Beat and The Beat, The Body Snatchers, Buster Blood Vessel, which is my,
favorite name for a guy, another Buster and the lead singer of Bad Manners.
Yep. Yeah. And then Madness, which is, was kind of, I kind of knew that, but it wasn't solidified until I was doing the work on the show.
Yeah.
Then Horace Panter, The Selectors and The Specials, or Special AKA, depending on what era they are being recorded in.
It's funny. I mean, The Special, The Special Beat, The Beat. I mean, there's, you know, they were a band that, and I'll talk about them later in my playlist, but a lot of different terminology or different names based on which side of the pond you're on, mm-hmm. kind of thing. In October of 2010, the Two-Tone Central Museum, Cafe, and Venue opened in the Coventry University Students Union Building. In August of 2011, it was moved to Two-Tone Village in Stoke, and it features items donated by The Selector, The Beat, and The Specials. The Two-Tone logo, you know, that checkerboard pattern, was designed, and the dude that's half in the pattern, was designed by Horace Panter and John Sims. It's called the Walk Jebsko logo. It's a man in a black suit, white shirt, black tie, and pork pie hat, and it was based on an early photo of Peter Tosh.
I kind of want to go to Two-Tone Village.
Oh, heck yeah. I think that's a field trip just waiting to be made, isn't it? It feels like it.
I want to get a Vespa and go to Two-Tone Village.
All right, come on. We will do that. The third wave of ska originated in the late 80s punk scene, became commercially successful in the early to mid-90s. It shared many of the characteristics of Two-Tone, but featured the guitar riff and had larger horn sections, and also many bands added distortion to the guitar as well.
And when I was doing the thing about distortion, there's a huge kind of controversy about, is ska still ska if it's got distortion?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it came up a number of times that distortion's kind of a sticking point on ska purists, which I never thought I'd actually use those words together.
Yeah, ska purists. Well, I can see that though, because the traditional ska sound is a very clear resonant guitar sound, mm-hmm. And then a resonant bass and that sort of thing. And when you start throwing in the fuzz and the distortion, I mean, I guess, but boy, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of my playlist stuff features some fuzz, man. There's some distortion. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and you know, and it's funny too, because third wave of ska has your East Coast ska, like Boston area, New England, and then it's got your Orange County LA style. Right. And the two styles are not as different as like East Coast, West Coast rap, but there's a definite difference in like mood of the songs and what they sing about and how they present the music itself and how it's arranged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have, it's funny, if you would have asked me before I started putting my playlist together, which was my favorite era of ska music, I probably would have said, if not zone two or two tone zone two, if not wave two or two tone, then for sure wave one. And I ended up finding way more stuff that I liked that I had like earmarked with four or five stars in my iTunes library that come from the third wave.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of third wave with ska. I'm unabashedly so.
Yeah. Well, now I am too. Now I'm just done. I'm just going to say I forget everything I know that I thought I knew about myself and music. And apparently I'm not the same man I thought it was.
So some notable bands from this period of time, and there are a lot of them, and I'm sure I will mention a few and then Brian will mention a few, but you know, there's the Aquabats, there's the Blue Meanies, there's Bim Scala Bim and Bucko Nine and the Dance Hall Crashers, you know, and everybody has their favorite third wave of ska band. Sometimes it's No Doubt. It kind of became a joke. I mean, College Humor did that No More Horns thing.
Oh, which I need to see. You sent me a link and I haven't watched it yet.
And I'll drop it in right here. Bring it on, bring it on. And then also, Weird Al Yankovic actually did a ska tune in 1999 on Running With Scissors.
Yep.
So it became, it permeated to the point that even Weird Al Yankovic's poking fun, which tells you about its social like impact in the early 90s.
Yeah. Now, do you think Johnny the Shoeshine Boy is accurate when he says it will never gain mainstream success because it's just too exotic I can't remember how he phrased it, but it's just too exotic
to have mainstream success.
Mainstream audiences. That's what it was. Yes.
I think that he is wrong because he did not see a backlash to grunge. And I think that's the rise of ska was in direct response to because it's so bright and happy and full and danceable. And grunge has it dovetailed grunge. Mm-hmm. And I think that if he had known what grunge was going to be, he would have said, oh yeah, they're going to need that after grunge.
Sure. I just wonder if the bands that do see mainstream success find it after they've shed 80% of their ska skin. Like you look at the early stuff by No Doubt, probably one of the most successful bands that we'll talk about in this mm-hmm. list. And I'd say Just a Girl, you know, their first big hit was absolutely ska. Mm-hmm. But then you get into stuff like Don't Speak, and it's like they said, oh, okay, we could do stuff that's not ska if that works better for you guys over at Billboard. Sure, that's fine. And I wonder if, you know, Blink 182, I think their early stuff sounded very ska-like. And I wonder if that's kind of the way that ska bands have to go.
Well, and even bands like Sublime, they were defined as a ska band, but they were more of a weird hybrid of like ska, stoner rock, rap.
And punk. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, you look at songs like Wrong Way. Wrong Way is absolutely a ska song, but their biggest hit, What I Got, not ska at all. Even Santeria, not ska at all, but man, yeah, that's interesting.
And I think you've got a point, though, that I think mainstream success, you cannot be, it very rarely happened when you were waving your full ska flag at full mast.
Right.
I think
Would you say the Madness, you know, again, their biggest hit, Our House, would you call that a ska song?
At its core, yes, but the way it was presented, it was more of a new wave dance tune.
It really was. Yet, if you go back further, One Step Beyond, again, their first big hit, their first mainstream hit, not as big a hit as Our House, but without a doubt, it's a ska song. It's like they looked at it's like Johnny, the Shoeshine Boy, said, hey, you're looking for the perfect ska song? One Step Beyond by Madness.
You know,
that $20.
Yeah, and the funny thing, though, is that I was in the heart of Provo, Utah, and I got to see a lot of these really large ska bands roll through because for whatever reason, Provo, Utah became a hub of ska music in the early 90s. They had no less than half a dozen, maybe even more, active crowd-drawing ska bands in town, let alone in Salt Lake and in St. George and up in northern Utah. And then all these major acts, the Boss Tones, the Skank and Pickle, Bucko 9, the Slackers, the Toasters, they would all come through. And I got to see these guys for like $5.
That's so cool. That's so, so cool. Yeah, I, with a couple notable exceptions, I've never been to a ska concert. I've seen some bands that do that crossover new wave and ska thing. I don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but I would love to just go to a straight up ska concert. Does it take the punk? Like, is there slam dancing at a ska concert?
It depends on the group. Like Real Big Fish does have a pit.
Sure.
But there are also
Rancid
bands.
Probably has
a pit. But there are also bands that don't have pits. That just people skanking around in their suspenders and their baggy pants.
A skank pit. Is that what it is? Is that,
that sounds like a bar you'd go to in Vegas.
Totally does. It sounds like a bar you don't go to in Vegas.
That's what the meetup's going to be, right?
It's going to be at the Skank Pit. Yes. bring your
Purell and come to the Skank Pit.
Awesome. Cool. So let's see. In 1981, the Uptones and the Toasters formed on opposite coasts. They were among some of the earliest U.S. ska bands. Third Wave became popular worldwide and adopted many traits and sounds from their own cultures and music, as well as added influences.
So,
and there's, yeah.
When I was doing research on this, I found like Japanese ska bands, and I found ska bands from, you know, all over the place. And the ones from like, you know, Eastern Europe, they had more polka in them, like punk polka instead of like straight ska.
You're going to find one of those in my playlist, as a matter of fact.
And I love the fact that it's such a, the skeleton is there for you to plug into your stuff. So if your influences are harmonica and, you know, marimba, you can play ska on it. And I will prove the harmonica part here in a little while, but,
And I'm so bummed you just said that. And I wish I would have thought to include some Yum Yum Orange in my playlist, because they are one of the wackiest, nuttiest, Japanese ska bands. And I love those guys, but anyway, just know that I love them. Okay. Know that I love Yum Yum Orange. Okay, go ahead. Carry on.
So, I mean, but the thing that was interesting about the third wave of ska is it broke off. There's, we're going to be talking about the fourth wave here in a minute, or the post-third wave.
Post-third wave, yeah.
But the thing that actually happened mainstream is that ska bled into the new swing movement. And a lot of ska bands tried to be zoot suiters afterwards. And it kind of killed ska.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that was a short-lived phase with the Squirrel Nut Zippers and the Zoot Suit Riots.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, swing, yeah. I mean, would they be considered like a crossover ska swing?
I think that was the evolution of it, and I think that it was, that phase of pop music only lasted, what, 3 years, maybe?
I guess so. I mean, yeah, Cherry Pop and Daddy Zoot Suit Riot does have some ska elements. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got the beat. Again, I know it's not a requirement, but the horn section does follow that typical ba-da-da, ba-da-da, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like that. I don't know. I might have to give it another listen, but yeah, you're right. It's interesting that, that crossover. Hmm. All right. So we mentioned it, the post third wave. It still pulls from the same influences, but it adds from a wide variety of other styles that have since been brought to light. For example, like we mentioned, the swing there. What else? What are some other bands that kind of fit in with that?
I voted for Kodos, the Flatliners, the Upgrades. Like we mentioned, Streetlight Manifesto. I think they're bringing in, you know, bands are now, they're not just pulling from the past. They're looking at what's going on currently. So you have bands that are mixing in, you know, hip hop influences or EDM influences maybe or whatever. And that they're coming up with, they're not just, you know, typical, it's ska because of the 1/4 and maybe not so much the horns and maybe not so much the stroke on the guitar, but it's in spirit anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. All right. Well, I know we haven't come up and we haven't talked about a Stairway to Heaven song. We weren't planning on having one, but I do want to ask you, do you feel like there is a definitive ska song that you could point to and say that would be the ska Stairway to Heaven?
Because
I mentioned mine earlier. I think it's One Step Beyond by Madness.
I think based on just pop culture and its influence over it, it's that it's the Boston song, I can't remember, The Feeling That I Get, that was in Clueless, because Clueless was a monster hit of a film.
Have ever been close to tragedy? Close to folks you have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse? No. Well, I never had to knock on.
Yeah,
and that song was everywhere for a hot 6 months.
There's another, and that's another one that I forgot that we did as a as a subject here on Soundography, Boston, Streetlight Manifesto. We've had a few ska bands that we've talked about on the show in excess early stuff. That's funny. Very cool. All right. Well, we kind of raced through that so we could get to our playlists, because I think playlists is where most of the fun of the show is going to come through, just our love for the stuff. And I'll go first with my playlist. This is where we pick normally 5 songs, but for these genre shows, we pick 10 songs that for us are favorites. Not necessarily that they define the genre, but it helps. But kind of a combination of defining the genre as well as being favorites of ours.
Yeah.
And my first one is On My Radio by Selector, or The Selector. And I think if there's a holy trinity of ska, it's going to be The Selector, The Beat, The English Beat, and The Specials. I feel like those are your holy trinity of ska. And I'll talk about why I left a couple people off of that list that are probably going to surprise people, but they'll be later in my playlist. But On My Radio is such a fun song, and it's got what's her name? Janice Black, I think, is the lead singer, and she's just so fun to listen to. So her jumping vocals, and it's just so good. Talking about giving her boyfriend a radio for his birthday, and then that's all he cared about. I think he left her or something.
So I think that I think you hit on something that we kind of neglected to bring up, but ska is a very fun form of music.
Oh, without a doubt. Yes.
And
I do talk about that in my playlist.
Yeah, there's something, they could even be singing about some of the most horrible things in the world, but because of the way the music is structured and the way they write, it's still one of the cheeriest songs you'll ever hear.
Totally is. You don't like name a sad ska song. I don't think it's easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, there might be something that deals with a sad topic, like Mirror in the Bathroom. Well, not Mirror in the Bathroom, but there's a General Public song that is about a breakup. But it's so fun that you don't realize it's until you really pay attention to the lyrics, you don't realize that it's
you're too busy skanking to
that's right.
to be upset.
Sadder content. Exactly. Well, speaking of General Public, prior to that, The English Beat, Hands Off, She's Mine is the song I picked from them. Since I brought them up, here's my favorite song of The Beat. Hands off, she's mine. I've actually gotten to see them perform this live probably a half dozen times as General Public, thanks to Dave Wakeling's interest in appearing at any Lost 80s cover concert or Lost 80s concert anywhere. Like, if you're having a Lost 80s concert, Dave Wakeling, like, he's got a Google alert that says, well, how come they didn't invite me? But, you know, back in the Ranking Roger and Dave Wakeling days. Anyway, they also opened up for Squeeze a few years ago, and every time I see them, they do this, and I love it. So that's why I was saying I haven't been to a ska per se concert, but I've been to concerts where the band does play ska, mm-hmm. and that fits right there. Wrapping up the Trinity, third one, Too Much Too Young by The Specials. Another longtime favorite. The lead vocalist is a guy named Terry Hall, and I have followed his career through The Specials, Fun Boy 3, The Color Field, and all of his solo stuff, because I just love what he does in every genre, and each of those genres. I mean, Fun Boy 3, not a ska band at all.
Mm-hmm.
Color Field, even less so. And just the fact that whatever genre he lands in, it's unmistakably Terry Hall, and it's so cool.
Yeah, it's funny. We talked about Coheed and Cambria a couple weeks ago, and yeah, we were talking about how they got together and tried a few different genres out to see if they would fit before they landed on what they are. I wonder if they tried out Coheed and Cambria ska.
I don't know, but that would be cool. I enjoyed what they did, but I wonder if I would have even enjoyed it more if it wasn't. I don't know.
We might have just lost a listener because of that suggestion, but hey.
Yeah, right. I know who that listener is probably too that we lost. Next one is Pizza Day by the Aquabats. We talked about the Aquabats earlier, but we mentioned that one of the important aspects of ska is just fun, and these guys know how to do it like nobody else. I mean, it just sounds like borderline novelty song fun wrapped up in a ska burrito.
Well, I remember my first day at public school. I was very scared of getting pummeled, and sure enough, I did at first recess. I got pegged in the head by a big red ball and stung, and my head hung. Back to class with a bloody nose, and soon it was lunchtime. Mom said I should ask about how poor kids could get fed, so I got a book of tickets and a schedule.
Well, and these guys wear costumes, and they pretend to be superheroes. And Bobcat Goldthwait directed a couple of their videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And there's a huge Utah connection, because one of the guys who started Go-Go 13 in southern Utah, his brother is in the Aquabats. So there's a huge Utah connection, because they're that California Orange County to Utah highway that it has a lot of, you know, transfer back and forth. So there's a huge Utah connection there.
Okay. Did not know that. That's really cool. All right. You know, I've got to have some covers in my list, Hammond. So let's get a couple of these out of the way. First one is the Can-Can song.
Like the one from.
You're going to say Moulin Rouge, yep, aren't you? Can-Can-Can-Can-Can! No, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, they'll hear it. You know, these bands cover pop hits all day long. Ska bands do. We talked about that. But it takes real magic to cover a classic like this and make it feel like it was specifically written for this genre. I don't know who – Rachmaninoff isn't responsible for the Can-Can.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But it just feels like this was just written for this genre, and I love that.
Well, it's funny that this art of the ska cover is kind of the litmus test for a ska band. And if they can kind of make it their own, then they win. And if it's just a generic ska song, or it doesn't quite work, or, you know, they're just trying a little too hard. I think that they, you know, that's kind of the test. It's kind of like the generic,
the litmus test.
Yeah. It's the watermark for them. And, you know, this Bad Manners can nail the cover, but
they totally can.
But, you know, I didn't mention it, but there's a cover of the Batman theme song, the Tim Burton Batman, the Danny Elfman.
Yes.
And that's awesome.
Is that also Bad Manners? I know I have that in my, I've had my.
No,
list.
It's not Bad Manners. It's somebody else, but it's.
But it opens with that trumpet. Womp, 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 womp. Yeah, that's a great one. Next one is Paranoid by Dooms UK. So I mentioned covering pop songs. This one isn't just like, all right, we're going to do Paranoid, but we're going to do it as ska. Feels like Weird Al being fronted by a very early David Byrne. And then he ends every single line with, hey. So he goes, finish with my woman because she couldn't help me with my mind. Hey, people think I'm insane because I'm frowning all the time. Hey. And I don't know why that is, but I want to hear every song done like that. I want hey added. And it's like that, like I said, like that kind of polka accordion and what is it? It's not like a flute, but there's a not oboe. There's a definite note, like a definite instrument that kind of says Eastern European Jewish influence, klezmer-ish mm-hmm. kind of music. And I don't know what that instrument is, but boy, I love that. If you're not having fun by the middle of listening to the song, you're just not listening hard enough and you need to start over. Next one is another instrumental, The Skunks, and their cover of the theme to The Odd Couple, which is a song I love, a theme song I love anyway. Especially because you got that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, which just kind of lends itself to a ska beat. It's that swing, that swing rhythm. And it's just so perfect. You know, you do your melody is done with a trumpet. You've got your walking bass line. Again, I'm doing this when I know that people are actually going to hear the song.
Yes, but they won't have the joy of hearing you do it, too.
They won't hear my impersonation of the song. All right, good. Good. One last cover in my list here, The Promise, originally done by When in Rome, covered by Real Big Fish.
If you need a friend, don't look to a stranger. You know in the end, I'll always be there. And when you're in doubt, and when you're in danger,
Fish, I just want to have some representation in here, because when you look at the whole scope of their library, they might be one of the most consistent ska bands in terms of quality and longevity. They've been around a long time. Mm-hmm. They've always been really true to the sound, and they sound like they're having fun, which is two out of the three things for Madness, which is my number 9 track. They've got the longevity, they've got the sound that they're having fun, but they aren't always ska. One step beyond, obviously, big ska tune. Our House, not so much. And boy, did they steer out of the ska skid in the late 80s, early 90s. It felt like they were just going to go for like a new wave, almost romantic, the new romantic sound for a little while. And so glad they kind of jumped back into ska. But this is a song about a guy who has a heart attack and he's trying to solve a crossword puzzle and traffic is crazy and his boss is crazy and his wife is crazy. And
with his neighbors in the rush at two, got to get the first bus, so much for him to do. He's got to hurry, got to get his seat, can't miss his place, got to rest his feet. 10 more minutes till he gets there.
And then he has a heart attack. And it's the one that does the whole, don't you worry, there's no hurry. You know, mm-hmm. Anyway, so perfect. They're awesome. The last one on my list is one that I would not have thought of when we were talking about ska until they came up in my playlist. And I said, of course these guys are ska. And they're one of my favorite bands. We talked about them earlier, the Dance Hall Crashers. I think an L.A. or an Orange County band for sure. Put out 4 studio albums and then a live album and then broke up. And I'm just so bummed that they're not around anymore. They were so good. Elise and Karina on vocals. You got two really great, strong singers on sharing vocal duties. And then a few guys in the back just rocking it with everything you need. No horn section, by the way. Mm-hmm. There's another ska band without a horn section, but these guys are so good. And I wish that they would pop up somewhere else where I could continue listening to their music as another in another form. But yeah. They haven't really resurfaced.
I just want this to be the same. I'll be the first to apologize.
So before I get into my list, I want to ask you, do you remember the first time you heard a song and said, we're told, this is ska, what do you think?
Yeah, what was it? I mean, it was...
And when was it, I guess, too?
It was on MTV, and it would have been one of those... It would have been one of those two-tone records things that they were showing, because I remember the black and white checkerboard and saying, I think it might have been Selector on my radio.
Okay.
Because I remember seeing that and seeing the checkerboard pattern and thinking, wow, what is this? I mean, this is, you know, I'd heard other things before that that were ska, but I think that was the first time I heard something and then was actually told, what you just heard is ska.
Yeah. So my first song on my list is that song for me. It was late 91, early 92. I'm living in Utah and going to college, and this friend of mine who plays in a ska band says, hey, come listen to us play. I'm like, what's ska? He says, it's your favorite song and we only play every third note. And I go, cool. And so we go. And the first song they play is a song called Skeletons, and the band's called Stretch Armstrong. This was the first ska song I heard when they played this concert and they said, this is ska. And I was like, hey, I can really get behind this. Because at the time I'm like, you know, Alice in Chains and Soundgarden and Metallica and Megadeth. And all of a sudden this guy throws a bunch of horns at me and a dance beat. And I'm like, I think I could really get behind this. I think I need this in my life. And then it started my love of third wave of ska.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And that horn section is what just completely 100% defines it right there. That did it, did it.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, so cool.
And so other than Stretch Armstrong's cover of Charlie Brown, they call Chuck B. Mm-hmm. This next song ranks up there as one of my favorite covers of all time. And it's the Attaboy Skips version of Ghostbusters. In the neighborhood. And the fact that the horns carry that part so well, and it already sounds like Ray Parker Jr. is trying to do ska and just fell short of the mark, because it fits so naturally into the ska. Mm-hmm. So that's my number two. Number three is the 12 Nights of Skonica by the Holophonics.
You made me play this, I think, either during Coverthon or... on a Christmas show.
Yeah, I think it was one of our cover-thons, like we were covering Christmas music.
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
And this is a great take on the 12 Days of Christmas. And the reason it is because it pokes fun at itself. It lists all the tropes that kind of make ska ska. Mm-hmm. And then has fun with itself. And it's very like, look at us. We're a silly ska band doing silly ska band things. I play the crap out of this during the holiday season. And I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah, no, nor should you be. I love that one.
Next one. Okay, so little how the sausage is made here. Brian and I usually don't talk about our lists. What will usually happen is I'll do the notes. I'll get first crack at the songs, especially when we're doing a band, because, you know, I do the notes and I can get the band. Brian lets me get the first pick because I did the notes.
That's right.
We typically don't talk very much during the genre shows because there's such a wide variety. And usually Brian and I kind of stay on our side of the street pretty much because he's got his influence and leanings and I've got my influence and leanings. I'm really surprised at the amount of crossover we have just this week.
I am too. Yeah. Yeah. There's like three bands on here And I'm surprised that we both picked them. And they're not even like, you know, who I would have said again is the Holy Trinity, the Beat, the Specials, and Selector.
Yeah.
So check it out. It's great.
Yeah. So my next one is Real Big Fish, and it's their version of Kiss Me Deadly. And I love the fact that they've taken a song by a female singer about a bad night she's had and turned it into a college party song.
Totally is, yeah. This one came up in my playlist too, and I was when I was listening to music too, and I was like, oh my god, this one's so fun. They, Real Big Fish, there is no doubt they're having a blast.
You
recording.
Said no doubt, get it?
Oh, no doubt, yes. That's fun.
So, yeah, I they got a new album coming out soon too.
Oh, cool. Good. I imagine there'll be some covers on there that I'll want.
Yeah. Speaking of covers, okay. So I love this song, period. Mm-hmm. One other band has covered it, and I think they did a better job, and that was Blues Traveler, but the Toasters version of Secret Agent Man is my second favorite version of this song. I love the Toasters version of it. Blues Traveler, I think, did it a little bit better, but that's because I lean toward Blues Traveler. I'm a Blues Traveler apologist, maybe.
Sure, sure.
I don't want to call it a homer or a fanboy, but I'm an apologist.
An apologist. I don't think you have to apologize for the Blues Traveler.
Okay, all right.
You know, you're an apologist for something that's widely regarded as not good, and okay. Blues Traveler is regarded as being good.
Okay, so I'm a Dream Theater apologist?
You're a Dream Theater apologist, and those apologies take 8 minutes.
So I mentioned earlier that getting harmonica into ska, it seems like an impossible feat. Mm-hmm. But then you meet a man, or you come across a man like Buster Bloodvessel. And Bad Manners actually put out basically a country ska album. And on that album is called Memory Train. And it starts with harmonica, and they also have on there Bonanza Ska, which was really hard for me not to pick.
Bonanza Ska. Awesome. Okay.
So the Memory Train from Bad Manners, it's off, I don't remember the name of the album it's off of right now off the top of my head, but it's easy to find, and you're going to get a sample of it. And you'll understand that harmonica
the can irony, work. The irony of a song that called Memory Train that you can't remember the album that it comes from. Let's not zip past the irony there.
I have gone off the rails on the Memory Train.
Oh, nicely done. All right.
Next one is another. I'm really going to be a Utah ska band homer on this one because I've got a lot of them.
I've never heard the term homer before, but I totally, in context, I know exactly what you're saying.
It's a band called Swim Herschel Swim. The song is called Shut Up. And it's actually one of the heaviest ska songs I've ever listened to. So that's Shut Up by Swim Herschel Swim.
Very cool.
They right. also do a really, really good version of Ring of Fire.
Oh, really? That's mm-hmm. cool. Which is a song that everybody covers, but I don't think I've ever heard a ska version of that. So hang that's on, something cool. I'll have to listen to.
These guys were in the chronology of ska in Utah, they were one of the first big ska bands that had like thousands of people showing up for shows at like an abandoned elementary school or something. Mm-hmm. And then Swim came along, Stretch came along, and it was almost a given that they'd be playing together. And then shortly after Stretch kind of broke big, then My Man Friday came along, which brings me to my next group, My Man Friday, which was that had, do you know the Crescent Super Band?
Yes, yes.
My Man Friday was, they were members of the...
Crescent City, yeah, Crescent City Super Band.
Yeah, he, one of the guys that runs the Crescent Super, the Crescent City Super Band, was in My Man Friday. Caleb Chapman.
Okay.
Yeah, Caleb Chapman was in My Man Friday. And so this one is called Cantina Ska. And it's basically the cantina music from Star Wars, but they also then dab in covers of other things. And it's kind of a fun game to go through and hear the covers of other songs.
Oh, very cool.
And then at one point, the singer steps up and does a Jabba the Hutt impersonation. So it's really...
Well, you mentioned the Holophonics earlier in the their cover of... Roar by Katy Perry features like every pump up anthem, montage anthem, like the
it's got
the
Eye of the Tiger theme. It's got Rocky,
and Eye of the Tiger is in there.
Love that. And then our last crossover of our list is Super Rad by the Aquabats.
Yeah.
And this is probably their greatest hit, I'll be honest. But I don't care because it's Super Rad.
The Aquabats.
And I love these guys because they just don't take themselves that seriously, but they put out consistently good music, and even their TV show, it was silly, but it was fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I introduced my 8-year-old to that when she was a little younger, and we used to sit and watch the Aquabats for very different reasons. She liked it because it was men running around in stupid blue costumes. I liked it because they were a ska band.
I've never seen them in obviously I haven't seen them in concert, but I need to look for some videos of them because I see the photos of them on the cover of the album and stuff like that, but didn't realize that they perform in costume. I love that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, their tongue is firmly placed in their cheek when it comes to image, but they're really not messing around when they do the music.
Nice.
And the last one I picked was Ska Wars from a band called Cat Down. I didn't know of these guys when I started the list, but because of the playlists and just typing in ska into, you know, YouTube and just hitting playlist after playlist, things come up. And I really loved this, and it really hits all the right ska notes. It's not quite ska by numbers, but it's ska enough that I was like, hey, this is almost, if I had to give an example to someone without any explanation, this might be the song I'd pick, especially for modern day versions.
Look at us getting ska or learning about music or discovering new music the way that the kids do it these days by going into YouTube and just letting it play through somebody's playlist. Look at us doing that.
Yeah. Who knew? You know, it's funny. Back in the 70s, music came from New York. You know, lots of record labels are looking to New York for their new bands. Mm-hmm. In the 80s, they're looking at LA and, you know, San Francisco. In the 90s, everyone was looking at Seattle. And in the 2000s, I was looking at YouTube.
Yeah. That's totally sad, but true. Yeah. Yep. Very cool. Well, that great list and great, great turning tracks. I hope we're able to find all of those in Spotify, because putting those together in a playlist just is going to be so much fun for you listeners to get a chance to listen to. All right, next episode, we hinted at the beginning of the show who our next band is, and it's a band, one band at a time.
We're living up to the name.
It's the band Ghost. Also known as Ghost BC, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Performing of that as well. And if you go and look for a photo of this band, like I did initially, you will think that they're a completely different band than what they sound like. It's amazing, like, the for me, the dichotomy of the appearance of Ghost BC versus the sound of Ghost BC.
And here's the thing that's interesting. They've got a sense of humor, and I really appreciate the sense of humor. Yeah. They're working on releasing new material as we speak. In fact, they've dropped a new single like just this week.
Oh, cool.
And just the presentation of the video and the way they've kind of announced changes, mm-hmm. there's a definite sense of humor behind them. And I really, really appreciate the sense of humor almost as much as the music.
Very cool. Well, I can't wait to find out more about that, because I know a handful of songs, so I'm excited to listen to Ghost for the next 7 days. If you want to get in touch with us, please do. You can email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. We're over there. We're at The Soundography. That's how you find us. Hey, anything else you want, though, just go to soundography.com. You're going to find all of our past episodes, including our Spotify playlist. You can listen to the playlist. You can find an Amazon link to buy the music that we recommend for each of these artists.
There's a collection of music out there called Skamageddon.
Oh, I have that. That's a great sound, like a great...
Skamageddon Volume 1 playlist. Might be a really good one for us to link to.
Good call. I'll put that in there. Of course, you can help support the show with Patreon. If you want to throw us a couple bucks a month, we would love that, especially if it's no skin off your nose. It's big skin on our nose. Is that right? Is that a good way to say that? I don't think so. It'll make us do the skank and pickle whenever. Maybe that's not good either.
Yeah.
Hey, just throw us a couple bucks every
it'll
month
keep us Patreon. It'll keep us from working in the skank pit.
There you go. Oh, the skink pit. Yes. Don't eat the fries. And that's it. Oh, of course, you can leave reviews anywhere you feel like leaving reviews. iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, wherever. And that's it. So there we go. Ska done.
Ska done.
Pun? Is there a pun we can make? Ska complete?
Let's see.
That's all she wrote. All she wrote. I don't know. That's ska, folks. That's ska, folks. All right. Anyway, that's good to do it. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.